Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I am Roy G. My partner here, Bruce Hall, right next to me. And how you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing good. I'm turning my phone down so I don't get any crazy stuff going on. Hey, Roy, you got to tell everybody about your experience at Pimlico yesterday. Roy went to the track. Evidently, his common law wife or whatever, his girlfriend, soon to be his wife one day, the mother of his child, her father and mother and father in horse racing business. Mm-hmm. And tell them about your experience, Roy. Go ahead.
We got to go to the stalls and everything before the races, a couple hours before the races, so I got to meet all the horse, see how he takes care of them.
Plus, I love the smell of horse crap. I mean, personally, I do. I love the way stalls smell.
You know, it's a very unique smell, and everything seems very fresh, I guess would be
a
word
to
use.
Because they clean up after them every 10 minutes.
No, it was great. It was at Pimlico. Yep. And we were in there about an hour and a half before the races, so we got to see how they take care of it. The horse is walking up. So it was.
Now you're going to cover the Preakness for us, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Now that's going to be fun, mm-hmm. And that's on a Saturday. So Roy, you probably will have time to recover after the severe hangover you might have.
Possibly, yes. It was the problem with horse race. The first race was one. I think he had to be over there at 1:10. I think they ran at like 1:30.
They run every 35 minutes, I think.
And so I started drinking at like 1. Which is, that's the problem.
Roy figured out how, Roy won.
My
like,
first race.
Roy won, like, he hit 20, you were like 25% up on the day, but you said, yeah, but I think I spent all my winnings on beer.
Yeah. Well, I went in the day with, I think we made a good amount of money. We were doing $1 and $2 bets. We made about $25. Our biggest hit was $35. So.
It's nice to be young. Unfortunately, when I go to the track, I'm playing $10, $20 exacta boxes and wheels and.
Saving my money for the beer.
Every once in a while, like if three horses, I know two horses are going to be in it. I'll even play a $50 exacta wheel, maybe with the horses, just because the exacta won't pay that much. And if you don't hit that, you're pretty well hammered for the day.
We were going over. We'd watch the horses come in. The horses that we did, like the races that we didn't know any of the horses, and we'd watch them come in. They parade around the little stalls before the race,
right.
And Haley would just sit there and pick horses. She'd go, okay, 5 and 6, we're doing exacto. And she hit. She hit 5 and 6 exacto, 1 and 2. She called the place and everything. She knows horses.
Women know horses. They just do. And they love horses. They love to ride them, and they love to look at them, and so do I. I mean, there's a lot of people that go to the track, honest to God, with a lot of money, and they'll literally watch these guys parade by and go, you know what? That 8 horse looked lame. And they'll just scratch him right off. Of course, the 8 horse probably wins by 4 lengths and pays $60, but it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, the horse, the race that we hit big on, she had a 5-6 exacto, and I had the 4-8 exacto, and it went 5-6-4-8. So we hit all four, but my exacto is for to place 1 and 2. So I didn't hit that.
Yeah,
I should have done a place, and then we would have cashed out big and been drinking all day.
Well, you know what great. You'll learn how to read the board when the bets are coming in. A lot of people don't bet until the last 2 minutes before a race, because a lot of the big money comes in late. You know, there's guys literally that are sitting around watching the board change, watching the odds change, and when they see something they like, they get to the counter with about $1,000 and bet it all up. And,
yeah, we didn't bet until the horses were walking in the starting gates. We made sure that we got a good look at all the horses, seeing how they were acting, if they were stiff in the front or anything like that. It was fun. It was my first experience like this at a track. I've been to a bunch of horse races before, but I've never been one like where I was able to like walk through the stalls and get like the trainer's experience.
And let me just say this, since our show goes out of, you know, Connecticut, New York, and northern part of New Jersey, if you ever get a chance to go to the Preakness and you want to spend a couple of days in Baltimore and you're a baseball fan, and let's just say the Orioles are playing, you know, Boston or the Yankees or whatever, you really need to get down to Pimlico once in a while and, and see what that racetrack's like. It's one of the oldest racetracks in the country.
It's pretty cool.
As a matter of fact, you know, they were talking about doing a multi-million dollar renovation to it, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen because they can't. You know, horse racing is a lot like professional boxing, heavyweight boxing. It just seems to be slowing down. The problem with horse racing, Roy, and we're not going to spend too much time on this, but excuse me, the problem with horse racing is that, excuse me, the problem with horse racing is that people that are involved in racing, there's no money in it. I mean, one out of five people make a lot of money in horse racing. The people that make the most money are breeders. The people that make the most money sometimes are the people that board your horses, you know, after the, you know, because you got to keep them, and you got to take care of them. You got to do all kinds of things. I told you this before we started. Trainers, veterinarians,
and jockeys
are the only people in horse racing that are guaranteed to make money. Everybody else, they're not guaranteed squat. But it's
a tough hustle.
Well, it's exciting, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't spend six figures, if you don't lose six figures doing it, and you have fun doing it, you know, people have hobbies like boating, golfing. Mm-hmm. They spend thousands of dollars on these other.
You don't see any return on it.
No,
obviously, if you become a boater or a sailor, you don't see any return. You are constantly investing in horse racing. If you're constantly investing in a horse, at least you're getting the excitement out of it. And then, hey, if your horse happens to win, he might take home a couple $100,000.
Well, the Preakness is the second leg of the Triple Crown,
yeah.
And it's generally run. It's run on one of my best friend's birthday week, so it's usually like
Second week in May this year.
Yeah, it's the second week in May. The Derby is like the right at the end of April, correct? I want to say that they race like every 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. And then of course you got the Belmont Stakes in New York.
Yep.
And that's a mile and a half track. I think it's a mile and a half race. It's a mile and a quarter for the Preakness, and the Kentucky Derby is like a mile and a 16th. It's more of a sprint.
They get bigger as
well. They're all 3-year-olds too. Mm-hmm. They're fun to watch. They've excuse me. They've maidened out as 2 and 3-year-olds, and I mean these horses are athletes, man. I mean, you look at these horses and they're so beautiful. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Follow me on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports. Mm-hmm. Follow Roy at Sports Man Cave.
Yeah, if you want to see pictures of my day yesterday, I did upload a bunch of pictures behind the scenes in the stalls, face up with the horses I ran. I was right at the finish line, so I got a couple good pictures of the finish line, and that's at Sports Man Cave, and I upload those pictures on Instagram. At Sports Man Cave. So
yeah,
there you go.
I used to live right off Roland Parkway, about 5 minutes from Pimlico, and it was a lot of fun to go to that track. I remember. You can catch like 4 races in about an hour and a half to 2 hours. It's really not that hard to do. A lot of times, if you're winning, you can't leave because you think you're going to keep winning, and you stick around. And like Roy said, a few people there drink beers. You know, mm-hmm. They'll have beer and then they'll have lunch. Now, did you watch this from the clubhouse, or did you watch it from a special box, or did you go down like next to the track where you could have fun?
We were running around, but for the most part, we stayed right next to the finish line, like right on the railing. And I guess there was some other thing going on there. It was like there was some guy dressed up like a lone ranger. They had an all-you-can-eat.
Hi-yo, Silver!
Yeah, exactly.
The lone ranger.
It was pretty crazy. He was shooting off his gun and stuff.
Did he have Tano with him? Tano's pretty cool.
He did.
What was Tano's? What was the name of Tano's? You wouldn't know this. You're 26 years old. His name was Scout, his horse.
There was no Scout there, but there was Tano or Tonto or whatever his name was. He was dancing around.
I can't even remember what the name of Lone Ranger's horse was.
Silver.
But he was white. Was it Silver?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Trigger was Roy Rogers's. Rogers's. Yeah. So you know that too?
I know that Royce Rogers had a horse named Trigger. My name's Roy.
Indeed.
I grew up.
Hey.
That was the biggest joke when I was little.
Yeah, but you're Roy Rogers? Yeah,
you got a horse named Trigger?
You're
too?
Roy because your grandfather's name was Roy, not because you were named after Roy Rogers.
Right.
Exactly. I'm Roy Rogers and I'm interviewing Roy Edwards.
You're Bruce Hall, but if you want to be Roy Rogers today, that's cool.
I'll be Silver.
I'll tell you what, when
I was a kid, I dreamed I was Roy Rogers. I watched that show every Saturday. Every Saturday.
I watched
there was my friend Flicka, too. My friend Flicka was Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed. See, I know Mr. Ed.
Of course. And this one, you know, I mean, that's a great song.
I know Mr. Ed. I definitely know Mr. Ed.
Hey, you remember who took care of Mr. Ed? Wilbur. Hey, Wilbur, come over here.
You know, they would stick peanut butter in the horse's gum.
To make him talk?
That's how it made it look like he was talking.
Well, he was talking. Of course. No, he was talking. I swear to God.
It was wired. That's the best way to tick off a horse. I mean,
all right, we're going to
talk.
Listen,
in his mouth.
In a minute when we break, we're going to probably come back and we're going to talk about Major League Baseball. And we're going to also talk about the NHL playoffs. You know, the Rangers are dead in the middle of one. They're tied up one each. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
You know, that's the guy that they should get to coach the New Orleans Saints, because he was already the coach of the New Orleans Saints, and he went to a daggone play. He went to two NFC championship games. Jim Mora Sr., mm-hmm. who's a lot healthier than Bill Parcells.
He's not going to coach.
Bill Parcells is going to lock up on the sidelines grabbing his chest one day.
Mora is making so much money doing other things. Like, he's the core. That's like that. The Coors Light ads have really made him famous with that. I mean, he was already a famous sports thing.
How much
now
money
he's
do you
TV
think he gets every time this is heard?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I mean, he's definitely paid to do it, and he was. I saw him on ESPN.
I like
and
his son.
And he was
son.
Talking about.
I like his son.
Yeah,
Jimmy Jr. Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how now people see him in the grocery store and come up to him and say, "Can you say playoffs?" So it's like,
and you know what? The guy's such a nice guy.
Poor guy.
He probably will.
He was
absolutely
a good coach,
will.
You know? He was a good coach, and now he's known for that.
All right. So. You gonna get us out of here?
We'll be right back. We're going to talk about some baseball, NHL playoffs, like you've been saying.
Yeah, what a beautiful
day. Playoffs. And, yeah, stick with us. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230.
Playoffs?
WFAS.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Aiming for heaven, but probably wind up down in hell. Where upon this altar I will hang my guilt-ridden head. But it's time I'll take before I begin.
Oh, this Irish stiff.
Sheets to the wind.
I'm wearing green. Yeah, Matt's wearing green. He's coughing up some green, too. Matt's been sick. He's a gamer, though. Hey, Matt doesn't call in sick, especially at his own house. I love this guy.
I'm going to wait to introduce
you know,
back in just because I love this part.
Edwards has got a little bit of, it's got a little bit of a Irish in him. By the way, Patrick Harrington had one good day. And Rory McIlroy, he and Tiger were both 5-over for the Masters. You both sucked last weekend, thank you. Tiger cost me some dinner with Roy. Cost me some money. But I did give Roy who, Roy? I gave him the winner.
I did. Saturday.
Originally on when we were talking about, I was trying to get Roy to just make a bet.
Saturday.
With me. No.
By the way, we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Is that all Second Opinion?
Can you hear us? I hope you can hear us by now.
But you didn't give me you gave me the winner on Saturday.
I'm going to close computer later.
I'm not going to take that away from you because you did pick Bubba on Saturday.
I said, you're not going to take Bubba Watson. He went to UGA. And he goes, okay, I'll take Bubba Watson.
I sent you the tweet, the picture of exactly what was said, and you gave me Luke and Rory.
Yeah, but now listen to what
and
I'm
took Phil Rose and Westwood.
Yeah, but listen to me. You had also said to me right before that stupid thing. You know, you're not going to get away with taking something out of context with me. You said, I'm going to take the top five guys in the world. Well, Rory McIlroy was number one. You're not going to take Rory in the Masters?
I never said that I wasn't going to take
Rory.
Well,
then stop talking about it.
I'm
Bruce
Hall.
We're going to talk about Major League Baseball now. And I got to tell you something. The first week and a half, pretty much, of Major League Baseball has been a real good one to watch. The Yankees are struggling. I really hate to say it, but the Yankees are struggling a little bit. You know, the Mets are playing pretty well, considering they're not expected to do much. David Wright, you know what was interesting about my boy from Chesapeake, Virginia? Hickory High School. David Wright decided not to go on the DL. He said, Coach, beam me up. I'm going to play. And he hits a bomb yesterday in their win. Got a great outing out of Jonathan Neese. Jonathan Neese threw, I want to say, six innings of shutout ball or gave up one run. But everybody on the Mets seems to be doing okay. Duda hit a bomb yesterday.
The Mets are looking good. And the biggest part about the Mets is Johan Santana.
Oh.
Because he looks like the pitcher that they went and got brought in to turn their franchise around. I mean, or to help them to the postseason,
I should
say. And he looks good, man.
You know what?
He looks really good.
It's all about pitching, let me tell you. But the National League East, if you're ever going to if you're ever going to have a National League East championship and you're not the Philadelphia Phillies, this is the year.
Yeah.
Because
well, they're down, but they can still
Let me tell you, they're done. Trust me.
They got
they got nobody to bring in.
Yeah.
There's nobody in their organization. They're going to have to start. You know what they're going to have to start doing if they want to compete? They got to trade some good pitching away, and they're not going to
do that.
You know what? They're going to take a year off if they have to.
I mean, let's not get too excited. They're only 3.5 games out. It's still very early, very, very early in the season. They're playing without Utley. I'm pretty sure Howard's still hurt, too.
Yeah, he's out for at least another month and a half.
So I wouldn't jump on Utley the Phillies just yet.
You know, Utley might be done, period. They're talking about how he may not come back from this. You know, you guys remember Chase Utley's 33, 34 years old. Yeah. And you know what? He plays like a 40-year-old because he's had all kinds of stuff going on. Always a lot of stuff going on. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Let's go through some of these scores from yesterday. The Angels beat the Yankees 7-1. Philip Hughes got rocked.
I don't know.
He's not. Something's wrong with Philip
Hughes. I don't know what's going on with the Yankees in general. They looked against the Rays, and then they came out bomb squad against the O's. Now, granted, it's the Orioles, but still. I mean,
give the Orioles credit. Playing all right.
The Orioles are a decent.
Even though,
baseball,
you know, Buck
team.
Showalter came out and said something about the Nats that I'd like to kick his little square butt.
Yeah, he was talking about Nationals Park. Which
I told you tell him if you saw him.
I was at Camden Yards opening day weekend, and that park is straight out of the Stone Age, man. I mean, I know it's completely built on tradition over there, but you need to do some upgrades or something.
Really?
Oh, my God.
You know what? I still like
that
it
place
over
is a
there.
Dump, man.
Is it really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Is it dirty?
I mean,
is it dirty?
It's fun. You're like, oh, this is Camden Yards. Like, all right. Like, so much tradition here.
Yeah, but it's not fun anymore.
That's all it is.
Really?
Like, I go to grab a beer. I can't see the field.
Well, you know what?
It's like,
to the Baltimore people's credit, they're not the ones that are showing up anyway. It's Boston fans, Philly fans, everybody in the world comes into town. The Yankee fans. When the Yankees are in town, everything's pinstripes. Yep. You know, Liz Drabik, who's got her own show on a station here in Washington, 106.7 The Fan, she was there, and she said everybody in the streets was wearing pinstripes. She didn't. It was hard to find Oriole fans.
I mean,
I was walking.
Yeah, I was walking downtown all week, and it was pretty much all Yankees fans walking around. But I mean, the Yankees came. I mean, it was all bomb squad against the Orioles.
Let me just tell you what the Yankees hitters are hitting as of yesterday. Derek Jeter showed up. He's hitting .361. He's leading off. You know, Nick Swisher has had a couple of good games. He's hitting .242. It's early. Robinson Cano will get it going on. He's .229 now, but he'll be over .300 shortly. The guy that's not doing it right now is Mark Teixeira, and Curtis Granderson isn't doing it either. These guys aren't hitting. A-Rod.
And they weren't there at the end of the year last year. They weren't there at the end of the last year either.
If A-Rod's girlfriend shows up, and by the way, I looked at her on Google. Man, she's strong.
He's got good taste in women.
I'm going to tell
you
something. The thing I like about
Madonna, Madonna's Madonna, you know? I mean, you wouldn't date Madonna? I'd date Madonna.
Madonna said he wouldn't squat. She said on his best day, he barely got a single.
Yeah, Madonna's probably a freak, though.
Well, and you're saying there's something wrong with that?
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
You know what?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Hey, you know who's in the playoffs? I'm only going to say this. We're going to talk about the NHL playoffs in about 20 minutes. But the Rangers got tied up yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that later. All right, so anyway, the Yankees got some work to do, I would say. What do you say?
Take that button away from Bruce. He's going to hit it
that.
Like
I love that thing. Anyway, the Nationals look good. They're 7-2 start in the East.
Well, Gio Gonzalez finally looked like the Gio Gonzalez that they gave four prospects for. So.
Well, you know what their team ERA is? It's like 1.55. After 9 games. That's their starting pitcher's ERA.
Their team's ERA
is like 1.74.
They're a very young pitching baseball team. And their bullpen, which for the first – I'm a Nationals fan. There's no hiding that. And for the first time in a long time, looks good. And I actually have confidence going in. And they're led by a veteran in Brad Lidge who has won World Series before. And he's going in there and he's hyped these guys up. And he's got them looking good. I mean – and then right on their tails are the New York Mets who – everyone thought was going to come out and poop the bed. Yep. And it's still early. I realize that. There's still time for the Mets to turn into who everyone thinks they are, but they're looking good.
They're playing a Cincinnati Red team that, in my opinion, hasn't even started hitting yet. Cincinnati, the past 2 years, has averaged more runs than any other team in the major leagues, right at 5 runs a game. They hit the ball. Their problem has been pitching. This year, their problem is hitting. They're hitting after, let's see, they're 3-6. They played 9 games. Hello? They're hitting 191. But they've lost some guys, too. They also have Brandon Phillips is out. What a surprise. He's 36 years old. And they just signed him for another 3 years. 3-year deal with like almost $10 million a year. Joey Votto's their stud. He's hitting 290.
Yeah. He hasn't really showed up in this series.
No,
at all.
but they're
not, a couple hits, but
no, but they're not doing anything. But Washington, and you and I went back and forth about this. You know, I would move this. Now I got to tell you something. The thing about the Washington Nationals right now is they're doing this with guys that they didn't even have last year. Xavier Nady, they call him the X-Man everywhere he goes. He played in San Diego for Boch. You know, he's been everywhere. He was in Pittsburgh the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Hit pretty good, but he's one of these journeymen that doesn't
really...
They
call him the Goon Squad. All the bench people, they call him the Goon Squad.
Absolutely, but this guy, he's done the job for them. He's only hitting 217 so far, but he hit a bomb the other night to tie it up.
Yeah, he pretty much won them that game.
Now, Espinosa will get it going a little bit, hopefully sooner or later. He's hitting 194, but, you know, Danny has a tendency, you know, he hits the long ball. You and I talked about it. His swing needs a lot of help, but he's young. He's like 23 years old, so he's going to get better. Ian Desmond's the guy. Now, he didn't get a hit yesterday, and he left 4 men on base, and he struck out once. But he has been leading off and doing a really good job so far. There was a lot of talk with the Nationals that Espinosa would end up at short, and Desmond might either get traded or go somewhere else. The thing I like about what Desmond does is he's super athletic. He could play center field. Now, Rick Ankiel came back, and I'm not even going to mention what me and you went through this week with him. But he started yesterday, and he's going to take a couple games to start hitting. But he gives them a guy in center field that's got the best arm in the league, and he runs down balls pretty well, and that keeps them – that gives them Roger Bernardina to come off the bench. So, I mean, the Nats are going to be sticking around for a long time. They're going to be sticking around for a long time. I've got a live read here for everybody, so I want you guys to listen quickly for me here. Here we go. You know, when it comes to real estate, you got to listen to a realtor. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Don't forget that. It's very important.
We'll be right back. This is AM 1230 WFAS. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Still got a lot of baseball to cover. Got some NHL playoffs to go over. And Bruce, where do you want to jump in on this baseball topic?
Texas-Minnesota game. Rangers beat the Twins. The Rangers are 7-2, just like the Nats. You know, the Rangers are going to be hanging around for a long time. Nolan Ryan's built a juggernaut over there. They're always going to hit. It's a matter of whether they get the pitching they want.
Their pitching's looking good as of recent.
Well, so far their pitching's been fine. This guy they signed out of Japan, Yu Darvish, has changed his delivery 5 times during spring training. Not really throwing quite like he would. He threw 5 2/3, gave up 9 hits, 1 earned run, walked 4. Struck out 4. Ogando's doing a great job in the pen. And they got Joe Nathan. I met Joe Nathan at University of Tennessee. He worked out down there with the Volunteers one spring when I was down there. Not spring, fall. And Joe Nathan's a monster. He used to close in Minnesota. And he's a hell of a ball player. But you look at the numbers. Ian Kinsler's a stud. He just signed a long-term deal about 2 weeks ago. And Elvis Andrus is, 21 years old? He's a monster. He's only hitting 188. He's just going to get better. But the guy that I've always loved, Josh Hamilton, who my sweet mate, John Nairn, who's now the batting instructor for the Milwaukee Brewers, used to spend 24-7 with Josh because they could not allow him to go off by himself because of his addiction problem. But Josh went 3-for-5, scored 3 runs yesterday, hit a bomb in the third inning off Blackburn. Josh is hitting .378. Don't look for that to change much. You know, he's one of the few guys playing Major League Baseball right now that probably could hit .400 because he's that good of a hitter. And he's very selective. He's a smart hitter. He's not stupid.
And they have to pitch to him.
Yeah. They got Beltre and Michael Young. Yeah, Michael Young has 200 hits in a year, in a season, maybe 8 straight times. Michael Young is a borderline Hall of Famer. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be surprised if Michael Young doesn't make the Hall of Fame. He's hitting .324, and he hadn't even heated up yet. Beltre's hitting right around .300. He's at .294.
Went 3-for-4 yesterday.
Right.
When you have to pitch to Hamilton, good things are going to happen.
Now, for Northern Virginia folks, Brandon Snyder from Westfield High School struggled in the Orioles organization up and down, up and down, up and down for years. Brandon was the 13th player drafted in the draft probably 6 years ago out of Westfield. You know, the kid's only 23, 24 years old. He went 3-for-4 yesterday, batting ninth. God, I'd love to have a Brandon Snyder batting ninth for me. Scored a run. And, you know, he's gonna fit right in Texas because he can swing the stick. He can rake, as they say in the baseball business. Let's go to the next game. Next game is the Mets in Philly. We talked about him briefly, but let's talk about him in some detail here since we got all these people in New York wanting to know. The Mets look like the Yankees should look. They shut the Phillies out in Philadelphia yesterday, 5-0. Jonathan Nease, you got to love this pitcher. You know, he's a young kid. He's 2-0 this year. He's got a 2.13 ERA. Yesterday went 6 2/3 innings, gave up 5 hits, didn't cost him anything. Walked 1, struck out 5. They got your old boy Roush.
Yeah.
Who went to Minnesota. He was
John Roush.
He was an 8th inning guy with the Nationals about, 4 or 5 years ago.
He throws gas.
Well, he's the tallest guy in baseball. He's 6'11 and a half, but his arms are like for a 5'10 guy. He looks kind of like one of those dinosaurs, you know?
Like a T-Rex.
Like a T-Rex.
The dude throws gas, though. And when you're that tall, the ball comes in at an entirely different angle. And now, he's been pretty unhittable thus far.
Now, Parnell's their 8th inning guy. He's wonderful. Now, Worley had a great spring for Philly. But you know what? When you don't score any runs, it doesn't matter. You know, and the Phillies right now, they're 3-5. And honest to God, the Phillies are done. I mean, if you had the Phillies in a pool to win the National League East this year, your money is gone. Why don't you just burn it?
It's maybe still early.
Look, you know me. I make calls early.
I know you do.
I called the Giants early. And everybody thought, even people in New York thought I was out of my mind.
Yep.
Was I out of my mind, Roy? Yeah, I was out of my mind.
You're still out of your mind, but it was a good call.
But we won the Super Bowl. And this year, I think the Mets, you know, I like what I see Terry doing with his team. You know, he doesn't put a lot of pressure on them. You know, they've got a lot of changes in the field. You know, they're trying to get used to some stuff. But they've got a beautiful stadium over there. And I really think that they're going to do fine this year. Now you go to Tampa Bay, Boston. Well, Tampa Bay, everybody picked to win the East, okay? I picked the Yankees.
Yankees were the pre-ranked number one team in the league.
Well, look at this, though. Boston is, you know, even though they're only 3-5, they put 13 up yesterday. And I got to tell you, Tampa Bay's pitching staff, they did that against Jeremy Hellickson, who was one of their really good minor league guys they brought up last year, didn't do much. Buchholz got the win. He got hit around. He gave up 5 earned runs in 7 innings. He's not doing anything. I honestly don't think either of these teams, and I mean this, I don't think either team is going to be around at the end. I really don't. I think Tampa Bay might be.
I think Tampa Bay
will
be.
Well, they better get to work because right now they're 4-4 and they look like a .500 team. The Baltimore-Toronto game. For you Baltimore people out there that are listening, a lot of you are.
It's false hope.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, we call that Angelo's fever. If you got it, lose it. But anyway, Baltimore won yesterday. They came back. They were down 4-3 in the top of the 8th. They got a run. And then in the 9th, Chris Davis ripped a 2-run shot. And you know, Nolan Reimold, where the hell's he been? Nolan Reimold, who was there, they had so many Nolan Reimold shirts made up about 3 years ago. I even bought one because I like to collect them. But Nolan Reimold finally looks like the Nolan Reimold. He let off. He let off yesterday. And, you know, that's kind of the guy.
He's the only one hitting.
Yeah. Well, you know, he went 323. You know, Davis, Matt Wieters has been hitting the ball.
Adam Jones has looked okay.
Nick Markakis has got some kind of disease. You know, I don't know what's going on with Markakis. I'm not going to make any conspiracy theory accusations here because I don't think Markakis cheats. But I got to tell you, he ought to because he looks terrible.
He better do something.
Well, you know what's wild? Look, they gave J.J. Hardy all that money. You remember? Was it the beginning of last season or the season before that? They gave J.J. Hardy, who I happen to like. He was a Milwaukee Brewer. He got away from there, signed as a free agent with Baltimore. J.J. Hardy is hitting 176. J.J., you're making like $8 million a year. Get to work. That's what you got to do. Pitching-wise, you know, they brag about how great their pitchers are. Nah, they're okay.
The Orioles?
Yeah.
The Orioles
but,
have some terrible
but
pitching.
Listen to me. But listen to me. For the year, they're at 2.84 ERA. If they stay anywhere near 3, they're going to be fairly competitive. And I got to tell you, it's not Boston's year. Boston's not going to win 90 games.
It's not the Orioles'
games.
Year, though, either.
The no,
Orioles,
it's not.
The Orioles might contend with Toronto for the last spot.
Well, what have we been saying, Roy, you and I, for years? Sell the damn team to Cal. Let's get some ball players,
yeah.
Right? Because who wouldn't want to play for Cal Ripken? Hell, he owns, like, he and Billy own, I don't know, I think the whole family owns it. I think Vi's got a piece of all those teams. I think his sisters are in on it. It's basically a Ripken Foundation
the Ripken
team. No, not the Ripken League. I'm talking about they own 5 minor league teams.
Oh.
They own the Greensboro Bats. I know they own the Aberdeen, whatever they call them, over there in his hometown. They own the Augusta Green Jackets in the San Francisco Giant organization. I love all the teams they buy because there's always so much energy and stuff, and they could bring that back to Baltimore, too. I wish they'd do it. The White Sox.
This is a surprise to me.
Well, you know what? Let me just tell you. I've been saying for how many years have I been saying? 3 years I've been saying, get rid of Ozzy. Ozzy is like, you know, they won a World Series and they were forced to hang on to him. All he ever did was argue with Kenny Williams, right? Kenny Williams is the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. I know Hawk Harrelson. I know Hawk liked Ozzy. And I know Hawk knows a lot about these White Sox. But Adam Dunn got a hit and an RBI yesterday. Let me repeat that. Adam Dunn, who hit 154 last year. Do you know what I figured out this week? How much he got paid per hit last year. Do you want to hear what it was? Adam Dunn had like under 130 hits last year and 600 and some at bats. He got paid $100,000 per hit. That is sick, people. You know what? I could play for 2 weeks and I could retire. This guy made $13.5 million last year, and he's going to make that much or more this year.
Well, he's a big stick, though. But if you can get him hot, then he's good for 40 home runs.
Well, guess who their big stick really is? Paul Konerko. Paul Konerko, they tried to get rid of 2 years ago. No one wanted him. The Giants were thinking about him. They signed Aubrey Huff for $3 million. Huff helped them get a ring in the World Series, and the rest is history. We're going to be back here in a minute. Right now, I want to tell you what's going on. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute. This is Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G here with Bruce Hall. We're talking MLB. And a little bit later, we're going to get into some NHL hockey playoffs. We're going to get into the NBA outlook on their playoffs. But right now, we are smack dab in the middle of the MLB. And should we move on to the Cleveland Royals game, Bruce?
Absolutely. They had 2 fights in this game. 2 bench-clearing baseball brawls. Nobody got hurt, which sucks. I kind of like it when guys get decked and
there's no blood,
knocked
so
out. Well, you know what?
Boring.
If you don't, if there's a fight with 50 guys involved, isn't somebody supposed to at least get a concussion or stitches or something?
Well, this is two really bad baseball teams.
Yeah, well, Cleveland sucks and Kansas City is getting better. Oh. They're getting a little bit better. They really are. But I got to tell you something. They're not hitting. Cleveland's not hitting. Kansas City's barely hitting. Neither team's doing much in pitching. Let's pass on that game and go to a real baseball game. Well, it's the Houston Astros and the Miami Cuban Exiles.
Ooh.
I know. Well, you know, we talked about this briefly. Let's do 2 minutes on this. What do you say?
Sure.
I had a conversation. Listen, I've been a firm believer. I'm 58 years old, okay? I've been a firm believer my whole life that there's no reason why we can't do something with Cuba, since it's 90 miles from the United States. We could fly there in no time. It's probably, a five-minute flight from Miami, 10? We could put people in hotels there. We could have casinos there. We could start trade with them again. The reason that we haven't is purely politics. It's been politics since the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. You know, Batista got thrown out by Castro, you know, early 60s. Ozzy was half right. We did spend several years trying to kill Fidel Castro, the CIA, the mob, them together. Two presidents were involved in that, Eisenhower and Kennedy. And then Johnson, when he wanted war, and we just ignored Cuba after that. And, you know, when Nixon got in, he ignored Cuba after that because they didn't want a lot of stuff going on that had to do with certain things that happened in the 60s, if you catch my drift. So, Cuba just got ignored. Now, not only did Cuba get ignored, its people got ignored. You know, it's amazing how we'll run into Kuwait or we'll run into Iraq and help out, you know, because we've got oil there we need. But we really didn't need anything in Cuba. We can make our own sugar, right? That's what they make in Cuba, sugar cane and tobacco. We closed tobacco fields down, right? We closed tobacco fields down in the United States and pay farmers money to not harvest it. So I personally feel like we need to go down there and hug everybody and go, we're going to show you how to make some dollars. And that's what we should do. Now, Ozzie Guillen came out probably blowing a 2.3 on a breathalyzer, because Ozzy admitted this past week, Roy, remember?
Yeah.
I get drunk every night.
Yeah, he
admits it. That's the first part of getting sober.
The funny part
admitting you have a problem. And he admitted it to millions of people.
The funny part about it to me is that he tried to make it seem like it was a good thing. That we said was, every night after the game, win or lose, I go to the hotel bar and get drunk. And my wife knows exactly where I am because I never go out. And it's like, so you get drunk yourself every night because you don't want to get in trouble going out. It's like that.
He's drinking alone. That's not good.
It's like,
yeah, now drinking alone is even worse than drinking with your buddies. At least when you're drinking with your buddies and you pass out and hit your head and you're bleeding to death, they'll take you to the ER. Ozzy doesn't have anybody do that, evidently. But
apparently not.
Look, I've seen Ozzy, and he did a great job last year or 2 years ago in the World Series because I met him in Texas. And he's a real colorful, personable guy. But he doesn't understand they built that stadium in the middle of Little Havana.
Yeah, it's basically Cuba. It's Cuba,
it is
America.
And let me just tell you, the people that are more sensitive, if you notice all the people that are screaming and hollering on TV about get Ozzy out, we're going to boycott the Marlins, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, they're like 60 and above. And that's because they most of them. And they remember what they went through. And listen, anytime somebody's forced to leave a country because they don't believe in what the new regime is doing, there's going to be hard feelings. You know, communism doesn't work. You know, Ozzy was right about one thing. Castro stayed alive all these years. He's barely alive now. His brother's going to take over. And from what I hope, we'll have trade with him. I hope we'll be able to travel there without a special visa. You know, going to the White House and having them, you know we're going or whatever happens. But Ozzy did apologize. And how many times you ever heard Ozzy apologize? That was the first time I've ever heard it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even really call it an apology.
No, it was. He was almost in tears.
He said he was sorry, but the way that he said it was kind of like, I don't know. And the Miami people and the Cuban Americans, they're not buying it either. Right. They were still protesting. They protested an apology. One of my best friends is Cuban.
Right.
And he tried to talk to his family members who are down in Miami about it, and they don't want to talk about it. They want to, you know, they are legitimately upset about
it. And they have good reason, too, but it's their reason. You know what I mean? And I got to say this. Ozzy, that wasn't what's really going to hurt Ozzy. What's going to hurt Ozzy is he came out against Chavez this week, who's the Venezuelan dictator, and said, I would never vote for Chavez. Never. Well, a year ago he said, Viva Chavez, Viva Chavez. So it depends on what he's drinking today, I guess he does it. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Give us a call. Area code 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. Ask us anything you want. Comment on this. Let us know what you think. We're going to finish up now in Major League Baseball. Let's talk about the Houston Astros. I didn't think they'd win 60 games this year. But all of a sudden, the Astros are 4-4, and the Marlins, who everybody picked to be right up there in the East, they're 3-6. Maybe it has something to do with the attitude right down there. Marlins aren't hitting yet. They got beat. 5-4. They got beat 5-4 yesterday. Norris started for Houston. Cruz came in, got the W. As far as hitting goes, they got a kid named Martinez in left field. It's doing a pretty good job. Justin Maxwell, former Washington National, former New York Yankee, pinch ran yesterday, and it looks like he scored the winning run. Justin's playing part-time center field there. You know, they've got a lot of guys that aren't really – they got Chris Snyder. They picked Chris Snyder up, who at one time was one of the top catchers in the league. Miami, you look at Reyes, he's hitting 243. Bonifacio is their best hitter. He's hitting 353 right now.
I wouldn't call him their best hitter, but he's the one who showed up earliest.
Hanley Ramirez is probably is their – Hanley Ramirez, if he doesn't get somebody to just get so upset with him that they hurt him, or if he doesn't get injured to the point where, you know, his career is over, should be a Hall of Famer eventually.
I mean, now, there's a lot of things going on in this clubhouse. Moving Hanley Ramirez to third. You bring in Reyes. You upset there. Now Ozzy does this. I mean, there's just nothing but bad vibes around this ball club right
well,
now.
Well, as long as these guys aren't being forced to answer questions about Ozzy, they're okay. And from what I understand, they're somehow keeping those questions away. Gabby Sanchez is a good ball player, but he's not hitting yet. He's hitting 212. Stanton, who changed his name to it used to be Mike Stanton, and now he is he's got a Hispanic or a Latino first name. He's not hitting yet either. I mean, these guys are probably going to put 10, 15, 20 games together pretty soon. And I would look for the Miami.
It's Giancarlo Cruz Michael Stanton.
Yeah, Giancarlo. I told him if he's going to change his first name on Twitter, he should change his second name. Now, listen, Atlanta, who started slow, is really having a hard time with the bats right now. They won yesterday 2-1. Now, their pitching hasn't been as good as normal either. Now, Minor got the W, only gave up 2 hits, no earned runs, and 7 1/3. And, of course, Venters and Kimbrel come in the 8th and 9th inning and do what they always do, shut down the other team. But the Braves, you know, they've got some good players. They got Danny Ugla at 2nd. He's got a slow start. McCann is hitting okay. Bourne, who came there last year from the Houston Astros, he's not hitting yet. He's hitting 188. Martin Prado, who I think is average at best, is hitting 250. But Hayward has looked best so far.
There's no surprise there.
No. He had one bad year. He had last year. He had a sophomore slump is what he had, and I think he's going to be fine. Last night in Colorado, the Rockies got a 2-run homer from an old man. And I love this guy, Todd Helton. There's a street named after him in Knoxville, Tennessee, next to the ballpark. He's the only jersey that you'll see that's been retired in Knoxville. Helton hit a 2-run bomb in the bottom of the ninth, the walk-off, to beat Arizona 8-7. Now, let me just tell you something. Arizona,
they're a good squad.
Yeah, they came back from a 5-1 deficit to take the lead. And they brought their closers in. And normally we call this guy Putz because that's how he pronounces his name. But last night he gave up the bomb trying to close, and he was a Putz instead. Cole Menner started. He got hammered pretty good. They're really not that great from a pitching standpoint, but they do a pretty good job. You know, in the next game, we'll talk about San Francisco Giants scored in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Those are your boys.
Yeah, they are. You know what? A lot of bad news for those poor guys. You know, I mean, they lost Brian Wilson yesterday for the season. Brian Wilson.
Beard for all of you who
the
are
beard. The guy
not
with the
as
black
familiar
beard,
with baseball.
He's got the girls dancing inside of his beard and stuff. You know, nobody probably made more money doing commercials than Brian Wilson for about 2 years, wouldn't you say? Year and a
he
half.
He definitely seemingly controlled the baseball press.
Brian's a lot of fun, too. He's if you ever want to read about Brian, he's got a book out there somewhere. You need to Google it. But his dad died when he was very young, and he's a really good kid. He really is. He's just a little – he's different. But no one works harder than Brian, and that probably is what had a lot to do with this injury, because last year he had lost some velocity, and they didn't – he just kept going out there and kept getting saves, and it was a problem. It was absolutely a problem. Give us a call, area code 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. You're listening to Bruce Hall, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, on AM 1230 WFAS. Hey, let me just finish up with San Francisco. Pagan got a hit, the center fielder from the New York Mets. 2-for-4. He's only hitting 161. Melky Cabrera, who we traded. We traded with the Kansas City Royals. Johnny Sanchez, he's hitting 364. We'll be back in a minute. Put me down
upon my knees. Oh, I beg. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G here with Bruce Hall. Bruce, we're going to finish up the MLB here, touch on a little bit of NBA, some NHL playoffs.
Hey, do you know what today is? Today's Jackie Robinson Day, too.
I did not know
baseball.
That.
I'm pretty sure it is because I'm seeing 42s everywhere on Twitter. And, you know, Jackie Robinson was instrumental in, you know, making sure that I'm an older guy, so I call them black players, but they're African-American players, if you're politically correct. But making sure everybody could play Major League Baseball. I mean, for a long time, it was just a bunch of white guys that some of them were good ball players and some of them weren't so good. And when we integrated baseball, everything got better and it got a lot better. And I'm happy for that. And, you know, Mrs. Robinson's still alive and she looks like a million bucks. And Jackie's been dead for years, and that's just the way it is sometimes in life.
But his impact is still
His impact's
made.
Unreal. You know, if you get to wear 42 anytime, and I think today, doesn't everybody wear 42?
Every single player wears 42.
Everybody's wearing 42 if today is the day, and I'm pretty sure it is because it's a Sunday. They always have it on a Sunday. And you know what? I may end up going to a minor league game later today. I may drive down and see the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Play. It's only about an hour and 40.
They have a great logo.
I should take. Well, it's.
I do love their logo.
I wish it was Rocky, but they won't let them do that. Whoever owns Rocky and Bullwinkle. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We want you guys to call in. We want people taking advantage of these phenomenal sports minds that we have here behind these mics and asking us questions, or if you just want to make a point. Area code 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. You know who else wore 42? Charlie Taylor, my favorite wide receiver ever. He's probably one of your dad's favorites too, Roy. He was a all-pro with the Washington Redskins, led the league in catches like 3 or 4 years. He was a running back when he first came out of Arizona State in 1965 or 4. And he was so fast that he would outrun his blocking. And of course, that was back when the pro football wasn't that integrated, so the guys blocking were much slower than Charlie Taylor. They were big, slow, fat white guys. And I just tell them like it is, people. And Charlie would like run by these guys, and they said, you know what, this kid's just too damn fast to be a running back. Let's make him a wide receiver. And all he did was lead the league in receiving almost every year. And I see Charlie from time to time. He plays in a lot of charity golf tournaments. And he also is a big, big Jackie Robinson fan, always has been, because they share the same number. We're done with baseball. There's one more game I do want to talk about in baseball, Roy, the Dodger game.
I was just about to say the Dodgers.
You know, this kid for the Dodgers, that is
Matt Kemp.
Yeah, that last year he's
playing with his chip on his shoulder.
Was he MVP last year?
No,
you know, he should have been MVP. They gave it to a guy that cheats. Now I'm not saying that. You know, Matt Kemp's a big, strong kid.
And it's clear he's playing with a chip on his shoulder this year for not getting that award. It's clear. I mean, the dude is...
Well, you know, his teammate, Clayton Kershaw, got Cy Young Award.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't he? He should have gotten that award, too. Let me explain who Ryan Braun plays for. Ryan Braun plays for the Brewers, who were owned by our... Put a quote in front of and behind the word commissioner... of Major League Baseball, Bud Selig. Bud Selig, in my opinion, he might be the nicest guy in the world. He's a car salesman, okay? He's done more harm, in my opinion, than good. The only reason he is the commissioner is so he lets everybody do what they want to do. Every owner doesn't have to answer to anybody. They do what they want. Or a group of owners get together and they conspire against two owners, like the NFL did against Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder. You know, they just decided they want and look, I sent, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but this guy last year had a better year, I thought, than Ryan Braun did.
A lot of people thought that.
Well, and look what he's doing now. He hit two balls out. He keeps his bat inside. He doesn't try to pull the ball. He hits the ball where it's pitched, and it flies off his bat.
I mean, the dude's leading in pretty much every category. He's batting a .457, got 5 home runs and 15 RBIs.
He's a monster. He's a monster. And you know,
like 10 games in, the dude is just lighting it up.
The Dodgers, Roy, have the best record they've had since 1981 when they won the World Series. They're 9-1. I think they've played 10 games. This is the best record they've ever had so far since 1981. And you know what? I don't know if they're going to be able to keep it up because I don't know if the starting pitching is there. And I don't even know if their pen is there, but they sure came out like gangbusters. Now, I wouldn't get too excited because they've only beaten the Padres and the Pittsburgh Pirates pretty much. I think they've played both of those teams 3 or 4 times. But you know what? This guy, Kemp, he's an all-star. He's going to be around for a while, and he's an awful good one. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA. Roy, you're the NBA expert. Listen, I really like what I see going on in New York. What is he, 14-4 now? Mike Woodson, since he took over?
He's definitely turned this team around, and he's changed the offense around. D'Antoni's offense was ran through Jeremy Lin. There's no secret there. D'Antoni in a press conference said, I'm going to ride this guy like Secretariat. So, and now you look where Jeremy Lin is, busted up, hurt, you know, not playing when they really need him in the postseason. Amari's hurt. Amari's always had – he's had back problems. He has a history of back problems, so that's going to hurt the Knicks going forward. I mean, if you've ever hurt your back, you know that thing doesn't really fully heal, especially when you're testing it every night in a shortened season like the NBA has this year. I mean, if he comes back, he's going to be 75-80%, and that's just the way that they're going to have to live with it.
How are they getting it done now? I mean,
Carmelo Anthony and defense.
You know what? They seem so much more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball.
They are. They've locked it down. They've shut it down on defense, which, I mean, it's no secret that the Knicks players have come out and they were generally upset with the defense that was being played under D'Antoni. Carmelo said that Carmelo didn't say, but he wanted D'Antoni out. I mean, whether he admits that he wanted him out or not, that he did, and he made no secret of it. He laid down.
Now they host Miami today at the Garden at 1 o'clock, right?
Must win.
Boy, if I'm in New York or anywhere near it, I'm sneaking down there. I wonder what a ticket outside's going for right now. That would be interesting. We'll try to pull that up for you before the this segment's over and find out what you can pick up a ticket for from a broker on the street in New York. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy G, my co-host. Give us a call. Look, I want to know who's going to win this game tonight, because I got to think that the Knicks are probably going to be a 3 to 4 point favorite.
Well,
because Chicago's got their point guard out, or he's not really
well.
Back.
It's Miami.
Sorry, the Heat. Mm-hmm. That's why Roy is doing this segment.
Miami is a 3-point favorite right now. It opened up at 3.5.
So the Knicks are not favored.
No.
Oh, I'm taking the Knicks. You want the Heat minus three, Roy? Don't you like the Knicks?
I do like the Knicks. Okay. But the reason why I like the Knicks is because it's a must-win game. I mean, the Heat are a very good basketball team. And the reason why I say this is a must-win for the Knicks, I think they're in the playoffs. But I think that if they want to go anywhere in this playoffs, they have to open up not against the Miami Heat. If they pull the 7 seed instead of the 8 seed, then they're going to have a lot more going forward. They're going to have a better shot moving forward with Derrick Rose with the groin injury, his ankles, like every game that Derrick Rose enters into, something goes wrong with him. And he's not 100% right now, and they match up better against the Bulls anyways than they would against this Heat team. And the 76ers, who is the team who right now is in the 8th spot, they're tied, but the Knicks have the upper hand on that. Their upcoming schedule, I don't want to call it a cakewalk, but it's an easy schedule.
How many more games they got, Roy? It's not many, is it? It's like 3 or 4. I mean, isn't the season almost over?
The season's almost over.
Because I think the Wizards or somebody had their last home game last night. It's got to be over this week, I would think. You know who scares me a little bit? Freaking Celtics, man. Boston is playing some ball right now.
The 76ers have 8 games left.
Do they really? Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that the Knicks have 8 or 9 games left. But it's not many.
Right.
And especially
the schedule was shortened this year, right, because of the lockout?
Yeah, so you're playing 4 games in a row sometimes. I mean, it's pretty brutal.
You know, Rondo was plus 20 last night. The Celtics point guard. This kid's unbelievable. He had 15 assists.
He only had four.
Yeah, I don't care. I've seen him play. You know, he basically fed Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett all night long. And they beat the Nets, who there may be some Nets fans out there. I'm not sure what's going on with Deron Williams. He had 12 last night, but he also dished out 14 assists. If you're going to go to the Garden, please do me a favor. Tweet me. At Bruce Hall Sports. If you have a Twitter account, that's at Bruce Hall Sports. And you tell me what's going on. I want to know, because if I drive to Richmond, I'm not going to be able to pick up the fan from Richmond. There's no way. So I need to know what's going on, because I think I'm going to try to figure out if I think the Knicks are a good bet. And I think getting 3 is the play of the day.
I mean, it's a must win. You take a look at the 76ers schedule coming up.
Right.
They got Orlando tomorrow.
Right.
Then they got Indiana. Then they got Cleveland,
They're terrible.
It's awful.
They beat the Wiz last night, though. Jesus.
Well, the Wizards.
At home.
Then they got Indiana again. Then they got the Nets. Milwaukee, which could be a big game. And then they end on Detroit, who is just dog do. The Knicks.
Dog do?
The Knicks got the Heat tonight. Then they got the Celtics. Then they got the Nets. Then they got Cleveland. Then they got Atlanta. Clippers, Bobcats. So
what do you think? What do you think? It's 5-3.
The Knicks need to win tonight, and they need to carry that momentum into Boston, because they need to keep pace with the 76ers team. Because again, if the Knicks end up in the 8th seed, then they're pulling the Heat. Then they're pulling the Heat in the first round of the playoffs, and I just don't see them matching up well in a 5-7 game series against the Heat with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
The
Heat are the much better team.
Real quick, Oklahoma City won last night. They cruised. Kevin Durant, your boy, you love him,
that's
Roy.
My boy, yeah.
43 points last night.
He's from the DMV.
And he had an assist. One assist. They beat the Timberwolves 115-110.
Russell Westbrook, a lot of people aren't talking about OKC, and he's a beast too.
He had the best game of anybody. You're listening to AM 1230, WFAS.
And we're back here on AM 1230, WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking a little bit of NBA action here with the Knicks. And like I was saying, the Knicks need to keep pace with the 76ers, because if they can win the 7th spot, they match up much better with the Chicago Bulls than they do the Miami Heat. I'm not saying that they wouldn't be able to take down the Heat maybe further into the playoffs, but they just don't have enough pieces right now going in to win that series in their first round. I just don't see it happening.
All right. Well, you know what? That's probably true. And you know what? They should win another four or five games. I just see the Knicks right now, they're playing as well as they have all year. Matter of fact, they're playing better than they have all year. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm talking to Roy G. And I'd like to talk to you. Give us a call. Area code 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. If you're anywhere near Larchmont, New York, give them a call at Augie's Family Italian Restaurant. Order something to carry out or just show up there later today and eat. They got the best Italian food I've ever eaten in recent years for sure. And I even had a pizza last night. So I'm constantly eating Italian. I love tomato sauce. I'm a ketchup tomato sauce freak. Tom Benson, who I'm not a big fan of, by the way, because when they had Katrina and all the problems they had in New Orleans several years ago, Benson was the first guy to come out and go, I want to move my team. We need to move. We don't need to be here. Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, when everybody jumped on the bandwagon to keep the team there, including Drew Brees and the players on the Saints, and the NFL and the rest of the country were donating large sums of money to the area, all of a sudden, Benson changed his tune and went, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I love this place. This is my favorite place in the whole world. This is where my home is. This is where, you know, whatever. Well, some things have happened with the New Orleans Saints. You know, Greg Williams, we found, not only this past year, but in several years in the past, has had a bounty system. Well, you know, that's nothing new. I played football, you know, at one time, and trust me, I would have been a very easy guy to recruit to take out a pass receiver and get a little extra money, because that's what I did. I ran across the when guys came across the middle of the field, I hit them with a forearm right under their helmet and their throat, and they never ran across the field anymore.
Which is illegal now.
It's illegal anyway.
Although that was...
And what I was doing was probably a personal foul. But you know what? When you led with your head, which I did, and...
That was taught.
I'm sure...
It was taught to lead with your head, and clotheslining was a part of the game.
That's correct. But my point is, this guy was doing it after he was told not to do it. And I don't care who you are. If you own a company, if you own a gas station, if you own a pizzeria, you're responsible ultimately for everything that happens there. You're responsible for paying the taxes. You're responsible for paying utilities. You're responsible for your payroll taxes. You're responsible for everything. Don't tell me you didn't know about it, because ignorance doesn't mean anything. If you're ignorant, you shouldn't even own the damn team. So Benson came out and said, I didn't know anything about all this bounty crap. So what they do, they get rid of Sean Payton. You know, they let him go for a year. The NFL does. I'm not a fan of Roger Goodell's. The guy is the son of a senator and former congressman from New York. He's lived with a silver spoon in multiple locations on his body his whole life. I don't like the guy. He wants $20 million a year as a salary next year. That's really funny to me, because I'd do the job for $500,000 and do it twice as good a job as he does. And that's me. And if I could do it, there's thousands of people out there that can do it. What I don't like about what he did in this case was he took a very good football coach away from a franchise. And you cannot compete in a league. The league is only as good as its best teams. But in reality, Roy, you'll agree with me on this. We don't agree on much, but you'll agree with me on this. You're as good as all of your teams. You know, in a perfect world, it's like the Roselle rule. Everybody's 8-8, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's why there's a common pool in Little League. In Little League organizations that have a common pool, there's not one team that beats everybody up. Every year, everybody goes back in the pool,
right,
and they pick from
draft,
it.
Right.
The thing about what I don't like about what Goodell did is he didn't fine Benson $500,000. He probably left that as a tip at the hotel when he stayed there for the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. He just bought the New Orleans Hornets, an NBA basketball franchise. And what did he pay? Was it $138 million or something?
I'll have to bring that up.
Was a lot of money. If you want to penalize an owner, Mr. Goodell, or Roger, because you're younger than me, Raj, hit them in their pocketbook. They understand that. He should have been fined $10 to $20 million. And I guarantee you, the New Orleans Saints would never have any problems again.
$338 million.
Well, so he just paid $338 million. Now, let me just say this.
They've reached an agreement. Well, it hasn't.
All right,
hasn't
but in this
officially,
day, yeah,
but it's going.
But
to.
David Stern said he's the perfect donor.
It's going to happen.
Sure, he is. David, give me your $338 million. The way I think it works, even if he borrows the money, generally speaking, he's going to have to put up 20-30% of that money, okay? Because you can't borrow money in the United States right now without putting down a whole lot as far as a down payment. This guy is absolutely liquid. Will somebody please tell Roger Goodell to go to work, do some things that make sense?
Now, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but I'm receiving texts and tweets.
Oh, I love it.
And tweets at me saying that Chicago's actually in first place right now, and if the Knicks were to win the 7th seed, then they'd play Miami in the 2 seed. Yeah, I understand that right now, but does anyone out there honestly think that Chicago is going to hold on to that lead and Miami is not going to be the 1 seed?
Chicago might be third place. Could they drop to third?
I mean... No, they couldn't take the. They couldn't take the third.
It's just
because
those two are so much. Yeah,
but I think with Rose beat up, that I don't see Chicago winning out, and Miami is a much better team, and when they put it on, they can do it. So I know that in the current standings, Miami is the number 2 seed, but they're going to end up the 1 seed, in my opinion. So
all right, well,
that's why I'm saying that.
Getting back to Benson, if you disagree with me, please call me now. One of the Mara brothers, the guy, I guess, that's executive VP of operations, might be Rooney Mara's dad. I'm a big Rooney Mara fan. I'm not, and I love the Giants, and I love Tommy Coughlin. If you listen to this show, you know I have a lot of respect for the organization. But do you remember when the owners' meetings were 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this. I'm pretty sure it was Mara, came out and said, you know what? You know, Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder, and I'm not a Dan Snyder fan, but I was on his side on this one. Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones should have been, they're lucky they didn't lose draft choices with trying to undermine the integrity of, you know, the salary cap.
Well, everyone could have done what they did. They just didn't have the money to do it.
A lot of teams did do what they did, and it didn't happen to those teams. Nothing happened. They did it much larger, obviously, than everybody. But you know what?
Because they got more money.
Good for them.
The Redskins and the Cowboys are two of the top grossing franchises in the world.
It's not, and you know what, Roy? It's not like everybody else couldn't have done it. Everybody else could have done it. There wasn't a meeting about this. They weren't even allowed to have workouts. They weren't allowed to do anything. There was no communication. None whatsoever. And I think I sent him a tweet basically that said, go see the lady with the dragon tattoo and shut up. Well, I meant it, you know, because I just don't get it. You know, I don't get where you can even say something that irresponsible. You know, let the commissioner deal with it. It's not up to you. The only reason these guys got fine, basically, is what they did. How much of a salary cap did the Redskins lose? Was it like $16 or $18 million?
It was.
That comes out to be cash, people. That's cash they can't spend.
It was either 16 or 18.
Jerry Jones's was $6 million. It wasn't even nearly as much. And some other people had 2, 3, 4. Here's all I'm saying. You know, if you want to make rules, have a meeting. Make the rules. Put them in. You know, make them become part of, you know, the rules and regulations of the NFL. Don't just call all your buddies and go, we got to get Jones. We got to get Snyder. These guys are cheating us. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Do me a favor, too. Give me a call. Area code 240-317-7294. That's 312, area code 240-317-7294. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And oh, by the way, I'm a realtor. This is Bruce Hall. We're back. Roy.
Yes, sir.
Did you get your gig back? We were talking earlier about the NBA. Roy went into detail about how he felt like, you know, the Knicks probably do have a shot in the playoffs, but they have a better shot against Chicago than they will against Miami. And we do appreciate all the tweets. I really would like people to, if you have a Twitter account, go to @BruceHallSports. Follow me, but tweet me. Tweet me while we're on the show. We pull that stuff up all the time. We were talking a little bit about Roger Goodell. I was getting off. I asked Matt. I said, Matt, I didn't step over the line, basically call the guy an idiot, did I? And you said, no, you didn't call him an idiot. You called him a...
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I don't even remember calling him that, but if the shoe fits, stick it in your ear. I'm just not a big fan of a guy.
I don't know if that's how the saying goes.
I know it doesn't, but you know, you catch my drift. The thing that I hate about people that run, and David Stern, hate, like him or not, he's done a pretty good job with the NBA, but nobody likes the guy. And I got to tell you, you know, until we came to the NBA season this year, I hadn't even been to an NBA game since the LeBron James was with the Cleveland Cavaliers and they came into Washington. I went down there to see him play one night.
When in Gilbert Arenas was still...
Yep, he is really fun. He's fun to watch. He really is. The guy's a 6 foot, 8.5, 9-inch linebacker that can play basketball.
He's a big dude.
He's a real big dude. But we'd like to thank the National Association of Realtors for being a sponsor on the show. We'd really like to thank Augie's Family Italian Restaurant in Larchmont, New York, for being a sponsor on our show. And I got to tell you, I'd give anything to be in Westchester County today so I could go down there and I could sit at the bar and I could eat all I want and I could watch TV in New York. And I could even see my daughter, Erin. Hi, Erin. She lives in Brooklyn. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. Give us a call, please, 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. We want to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. You can talk to us about your favorite NFL team, your favorite NBA team. You can talk to us about Major League Baseball. You ask me any question about high school, college, or pro ball, I'll know something about it. Trust me. I will. And if I don't know something about it, I'll know who I'm going to call to find out. I really will. I talked a little while ago. What's really nice about baseball during baseball season, especially on days where it's 75 and sunny and not 45 and hail. And by the way, there's a really bad cell coming through the middle of the country right now. And our hearts and prayers are with all the people out there who are suffering from some bad weather, some tornadoes, some wind. You know, unfortunately, when these things happen, people get hurt and they die, and it's part of life, but it's nothing we look forward to. But the thing that's great about baseball is there's minor league teams everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like the other day, the Bowie Bay Sox, who are an Oriole franchise, you know, they're one of the Oriole teams. They're the double-A team for the Orioles. They had an 11 a.m. game. It doesn't get any better than that for me. Number one, there's no traffic. Because traffic's over with by 10. So I drive to Bowie. I get there. There's no one in the stadium. I say, can I have a ticket? And I want to sit right behind the giant dugout. Or the flying squirrel dugout. And they go, oh, I can put you in the first row, sir. And I'm like, really? I get there. Well, of course they could. There were like 500 kids there on a field trip and me. And a few other people. Because we're talking about the Orioles double-A team. Okay?
And... You know, I grew up going to Prince William Cannons games.
Oh, those are that. Now let me tell you, are the Cannons still a part? They're a part of the Nationals.
They're the Nationals.
And what are they called? Potomac.
They're called the Potomac Nationals now.
Now, and that's a stadium that could use some work, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Nationals are fixing that up. The Orioles' short season A team is in near Cal Ripken's home team in Aberdeen. They're the Aberdeen Ironbirds. They're fun to watch.
And my uncle's son helped found the Blue Crabs.
Well, you know what? I play in Blue Crab Stadium with my summer college team. Hmm. That's where the Southern Maryland...
This is a great logo, by the way.
That's where the Southern Maryland Nationals play. Chuck Weingartner. Weingartner Automotive Group.
So I just gave
him a freebie. Chuck and Tommy Weingartner, I've known them since they were just out of college. But he coaches and owns and manages that team. He doesn't manage it anymore. He just owns it. I'm the only guy that owns and manages a team because I just love. There's not in baseball, there's not a better seat than being the third base coach and the manager. Every other inning, I'm leaning on the – I'm either sitting on a bucket or I'm leaning on the rail. And every other inning, I'm standing at third base giving signals and having fun.
Yeah.
And baseball season to me means a lot. I lost my dad at an early age. And for all you kids out there, that's why I'm so hard on lacrosse. I'm sorry, Roy. Every time Roy messes with my baseball, I always go, well, lacrosse is a bunch of guys can't hit a curveball. It's basically all they are.
My favorite pitch to hit was a curveball, and I was a hell of a lacrosse player.
Yeah, well, if you could hit a curveball and you were waiting on it, you probably couldn't hit a 70-mile-an-hour fastball. Now I'm getting on Roy a little bit. Hey, listen, I might go down there, but let's talk just a little bit about the Yankees. Are the Yankees going to be there this year? I mean, they've got the guys.
Yes, they'll be there.
They've got the hitters.
You've already talked about how
I've already picked them to win the Dagon East and win the pennant. But I got to see something. Am I going to see something?
The Yankees will turn it around. I mean, they have big sticks. Their pitching is starting to come around and it's starting to really show up. And you've already talked about how the Sox, this is a down year for the Sox.
They're not going to do anything.
I would call it a reloading more so than a rebuilding. When they lose their manager, they lose their GM. You know, it's a complete face change in Boston. So if you're going to catch the Sox down, this is the year to do it. But the Rays, I mean, the Rays, you cannot sleep on the Rays. The Rays are a good, very good young team.
They probably have the best. Their talent isn't as young as it was 2-3 years ago, but it's still young. I think their average age is 27.
I mean, they're a very, very young baseball team.
No, they are.
And they got a good AAA and minor league team system.
You know, if you look at the 40-man roster for the Yankees, look at these guys they've got. Now, I'm looking at birth dates. I know I'm getting old when there's a lot of kids playing the game in the major leagues now that are like my son's age. And my son's still playing baseball in college. I mean, he's got another year of eligibility.
Kids that are my age in the majors right now are like, they're like, oh, he's a veteran.
Well, now listen, if they haven't made it, you're 26, right, Roy?
Yeah.
If you're 26 and you haven't made it to the majors, you're an exception. Because if you're still in AAA when you're 26, 27, you're just spinning wheels and you might as well either go get your MBA and work for a while, you know.
So my time has passed it.
Well, they're probably not going to happen, especially if you're not hitting 90 plus on the radar gun. Freddie Garcia is a good pitcher.
You don't know that I'm not hitting 90.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know you're not hitting 90.
I want to see how fast I throw. Actually, I have a gun.
I would say you throw 70.
Do you think you can throw harder than me?
No, I can't throw left. I can't. I haven't been able to throw since in 1980 when I got arrested by accident and they took my hands in handcuffs and put them over my head.
And you're probably right. I do throw about 70.
Yeah, 70's up.
That's what I did when I was.
Hey, Roy,
I could actually throw.
Roy, when I throw BP, Roy, when I throw BP to my kids, when I feel like throwing BP, I throw from 30 feet, and I'm throwing 50 if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't even throw long toss anymore. My son can throw a ball 350 feet in the air. He can throw a ball through one set of goalposts and then through the other set of goalposts when he's winding down in long toss. Davis got a rocket. He throws 86 to 90. He's always thrown right in that range. Freddie Garcia, Philip Hughes, Hiroki Kuroda had a good game last week. I like that kid. He was born in 75. He's old, though. That's Hiroki Kuroda. My God, he's 37 years old. Boone Logan, don't even know who the kid is. Nova's tough. He's a youngster. 6'4", 225. He's got a future. David Phelps, Clay Rapata, Mariano Rivera. It's really weird to see a guy that was born when I was in high school playing in the major leagues.
Well, he's one of the best.
Mariano Rivera is the best.
He will probably have a jersey in New York for as long as he wants to be there.
Hey, I'm going to say this, and I am a big, big Trevor Hoffman fan. Mariano Rivera is the best relief pitcher ever.
Oh, yeah.
To ever
easily
put on a uniform. Roy, he is 42 years old. David Robertson, CC Sabathia. CC's not that old. CC's 32 in July. Rafael Soriano is up there. He's got a 79 birthday. Corey Wade's a youngster, 83. Russell Martin, these guys are all. Hey, by the way, the Yankees got Chris Stewart. The Yankees have Chris Stewart, who was catching with. He was a backup for the San Francisco Giants last year. He and Eli Whiteside, for the most part, both of those guys picked up for Buster Posey when he got hurt. And I want to tell you guys something very important that are listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back. This is AM 1230, WFAS, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
And we're back here on AM 1230, WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I don't really know what that song is, but it's very depressing. Who is this? Oh, Mumford & Sons.
Yeehaw.
They only have that one good song.
Hey, give us a call. Area code 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. The New York Rangers got tied up in their series yesterday. They lost 3-2 in overtime to the Senators, the Ottawa Senators. The Ottawa Senators decided to give the Rangers back a little physicality yesterday and started banging some guys around early and ended up tying up the series. The Rangers have a good hockey team. They've been good all year.
Oh yeah.
I don't see any reason for them not to be able to handle Ottawa, but I can see how Ottawa gave them some problems yesterday. The one thing the Rangers have to do is they have to score in the power play. I'm sitting on Brian Boyle, the center for the Rangers, had a pretty good game yesterday. He got the number two star. First star went to the Winnipeg Senator right wing, who had a goal last night. His plus-minus was one. You know, it really was just a lot of stuff going on yesterday. A lot of penalties. You know, he had a roughing penalty. Dubinsky had a roughing penalty. Game misconduct to Karkner. He instigated a fight.
Well, when you think about playoff hockey, there's two things that come to mind. There's physicality, getting rough and tough, not letting people in your zone, and really pinning some people up against the boards. Not boarding, but pinning some people up against the boards. And then the other thing you talk about is a hot goalie.
Right.
And the Rangers have a hot goalie.
Surely,
Lundqvist is a beast. He could very well be the MVP of the league this year.
He's been there all year.
And so they already have one piece in place in Henrik Lundqvist. So if they can get physical, even just a little physical, when you have a goalie like that, then the Rangers. This Rangers team is going to be deadly in the playoffs. They'll get by Ottawa.
You know who's playing for Ottawa? Sergei Gonchar. Can't believe he even got a penalty. I looked on there to make sure it wasn't a mistake, because he's not the most physical.
What is this?
Physical guy in the world? Exactly. He got a tripping penalty for 2 minutes.
Oh, he fell.
Yeah,
he fell into a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably having a hard time skating these days.
You know, I just think that there were no. You know what? There were no penalties called in the third period, so the referees let him play. You know, I mean, I guess they figured it. The first period took so long that. Maybe they were on and you got to think about that. When they're all televised, playoff time, and their ratings are so high, so many people watching them, does that come into play? I bet it does.
Well, they went into overtime, right?
Yeah, they did.
So that plays into your theory.
Well, you know who else went into overtime? Your Caps, Roy.
Yeah, they did.
Your Caps went into overtime.
Rocking my Cap sweater today.
They went into double overtime. And they tied the series with Boston, and that was huge, because if they went down 2-0.
Well, they should have won the first game. I don't want to get too much into the Caps, but.
No, well, let's not.
They should have won the first game.
Hey, the Flyers are putting it on the Penguins. They're up 2-0. I don't think that's a big surprise.
Well, the Pens have given up leads, man. They had a three-goal lead like the last game, and they just laid over the. I mean, that's a rivalry right there.
Doesn't it seem that to you, though, that Philadelphia always plays well in the first round? Because they knocked the Caps out.
Well, Philadelphia is a physical hockey team.
Well, wasn't Bobby Clark still their GM or assistant GM up there, I think. Detroit, they're tied up with Nashville, the Predators. That's a great series.
Detroit will take that. Detroit is hockey town.
Do you think they can beat the Predators?
Yes.
The Predators are good.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, we're talking. To put this in an NFL content,
right?
The Detroit is like the Packers.
Right.
They're a season. They have a winning. You know, they have a winning history there. And Nashville is like, the Tennessee Titans,
right.
Where they're just kind of like,
hockey. Well, it's like Carolina. Carolina's kind of similar. It's hard for me to get excited about the Hurricanes.
The Predators, the Hurricanes.
How can I be excited when it's 80 degrees outside?
The Florida Panthers is another team like that. We're like, oh, yeah, they're good this year, I guess.
Hey,
it's Florida Panthers.
Look, the Sharks won a game in St. Louis. So, I mean, the San Jose Sharks, they could pull something off there. And then, of course, you got the LA Kings are up 2-0.
That's a surprise to me.
Well, I mean, I saw the first game. I mean, they looked pretty good in the first game. But I figured Vancouver come back.
Well, Vancouver represented the West last year in the Stanley Cup. And remember, they lost to the Bruins, and there was all those riots and everything like that. I mean, hockey's serious in Vancouver. And,
well, what else
and
is
the
there?
LA Kings?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't heard about the LA Kings since Gretzky wore their jersey, really. And now they're upsetting the Vancouver Canucks 2-0 so far in the lead. I mean, if they take that series, then that's some serious stuff.
Let's get to something else real quick. Hey, listen, good luck to the New York Rangers. We hope you pull it off. The longer you're in it, the more we can talk about you.
And go
that's
Caps.
For sure. Yeah, and go Caps. Okay, anyway, here we go. Roy's got some lines for you.
Yeah, we're going to go over the baseball.
I'm going to give you some
today.
Baseball games today since it's baseball season. Go ahead, Roy. I've already given you the Knicks. They're getting 3 points. Take it.
We'll do the Houston-Miami game first.
Who's pitching?
We got Sanchez versus Happ.
Well, Sanchez is Johnny Sanchez. He's 1-0, and he's going after J.A. Happ, right? Mm-hmm. What's the line?
The over-under is 8.
Now, who's the home team?
Miami.
And it's 8-5.
And Houston won last time. The over under is 8. It doesn't have a line.
No. There's no line on that game. I would say that the line on that game is that what you.
I mean, there's a money line. There's,
yeah, I want to know what that is.
You want to know the money
line?
Yeah,
that is the line in baseball, Roy. You'll learn that when you start playing.
Well, there's a runs line.
No. But I don't want the runs line. I want the other line.
Houston's plus 180.
Well, what that's basically saying is you bet on Houston, you bet a dollar on Houston, you win 180. So it's probably minus 200 to take Miami. I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to take them plus 100. Go ahead.
We got the Mets, Philadelphia.
All right, what's the line?
That's Cole Hamels and Pelfrey.
Okay, and what's the line?
It's 155 Mets.
And that's
over under 7.5.
It's minus 155 or plus 155?
Plus 155.
So it's
Philadelphia's minus 165.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Mets. I think they're gonna beat Philly's got nothing going on right now. Go ahead. I'm taking two dogs right there.
I think that's a reason to take the Philadelphia.
Well,
Phillies.
You take them. I'm not. Go ahead. Who's next?
My boys, the Washington Nationals, pitching Ross Detweiler
against
Cincinnati,
and they're minus what 200.
They Cincinnati is plus 115.
Really?
That's and throwing a leak.
That's Mike Leak from San Diego, California, and Arizona State University. And
the over under there is 8. By the way,
I don't care about that. Let's talk about what would
I would take the under.
No, I don't care about that.
I know.
I'm just game. Over unders are how you lose your money in baseball because you don't know who the umpire is. I mean, if it's an umpire with big strike zone, it's going to be a tiny. You know, there's not going to be many runs scored if it's an umpire with a tiny strike zone, there's going to be 50 runs scored. You know what? I'm going to take the Nats. And then the Nats sound like they're minus 125, 135.
Yeah, 125.
All right, I'll take them. Go ahead.
Milwaukee, Atlanta. Beachy versus Narbison.
Okay, and that's in Atlanta,
that
correct?
That is in Atlanta. And plus 145 Milwaukee, minus 155 Atlanta.
Pass. Keep going. It's too many points.
The Chi City Cubs.
Right.
And,
who's pitching?
Mahomes.
All right. For Chicago.
Yeah.
He's not in Pittsburgh anymore.
No.
He's a lefty and he's good.
Yep.
And are they
0-1 in the season so far?
Are they in Chicago?
No, they're in St. Louis.
Okay, and who's pitching for St. Louis?
Westbrook.
And what's the line?
It is minus 175 St. Louis, plus 165 Cubs.
I'm gonna take the Cubs on the road.
By
as
the way,
a dog.
When this game is played in at Wrigley Field, I'm going this year. So I'm making 3 trips to stadiums this year. I'm going to Yankee Stadium, Wrigley.
Well,
and,
pick me up
and
a hat. I haven't bought a Cubs hat in a long time. What's the next game?
Arizona, Colorado. It's Cahill versus I don't even know how to say his name. Pomerantz.
Oh, Pomerantz. Drew Pomerantz. He's a rookie. He was the second pick in the draft.
I guess
three
his first
years
time
ago.
Out, he got a no decision. Both of these guys got no decisions.
He's the Arizona guy, right?
He's Colorado. Arizona's throwing Cahill.
Okay, he's throwing Cahill. Give me the Colorado kid. What's the line?
Plus 100 Arizona.
Is that right? So it's even. I'll take them. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Because they won last night. They came back and won.
Yeah.
They're going to win again today.
Colorado won last night.
You know why? Todd Helton hit a bomb.
Walk off.
Go.
Pittsburgh, San Francisco. These are your boys right here.
Yeah, but you know what? Who's pitching for Pittsburgh?
Corella.
Korea used to Korea used to pitch for Boch in San Diego.
You're giving me people's five starters here. I don't know.
No. Tell me. tell me who's pitching for the Giants.
Vogelsong.
It's Vogie's first time out. What is he like? -165.
-160.
I'm close. I'll take him. I'll take Vogie for the -160.
We got the Padres and the hot Dodgers.
All right. Who's pitching for the Dodgers?
Clayton Kershaw.
I bet he's -240.
He's -135.
That's it? Who's pitching for the other team?
For San Diego, it's Volquez. He's 0-1.
That's ridiculous. Give me Kershaw.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
I don't.
You say it's -135?
-135.
People, that's the play of the day, is the Los Angeles Dodgers, -135. That means you play 135 to win 100. But it's worth it. You got the Cy Young Award winner pitching against some schlep. Go ahead.
And the Padres are nothing. The Dodgers are hot.
That's a great play. Go ahead. It should be 200 is what it should be.
O's, Toronto. I would stay away from this game.
No. Toronto's been on fire. They've been playing really well.
They just lost the Orioles.
Yeah, I know. But go ahead.
The Orioles are throwing a lefty who probably nobody knows. His name is Matuzus?
Matuz.
Whatever
his
name
going.
Is.
Keep going. Brian Matuz.
He's 0-1.
He's the guy that they say is their best pitcher in the right. Keep going.
And then Drabek is for Toronto.
That, you know who that is? That's Kyle Drabek. That's Doug Drabek's son. What's the line? Let me guess. Where's the game being played?
It's in Toronto.
All right, hold on.
It's in Canada.
Then Toronto's probably -140?
165.
That's close.
I'd take Toronto.
I'm taking the birds, but I'm not
going to. Which?
But
birds?
I would. But the birds, Orioles. Oh, that's right. There's two birds.
I'm taking the birds.
You know who I'm
next
taking?
Next game.
I'm taking Ace. I'm taking Ace, the Toronto mascot, because he's the only one that's going to look good today. Both of these teams
that's
suck.
Terrible,
they're not.
Man.
Neither one. Is that it?
No, we got a lot
of games.
All right,
keep going. Keep
Rays, Boston.
All right, who's pitching?
Moore for the Rays.
Yeah, I know.
And DuBrant.
You know what? What is Moore? -180?
He's +115. I take the Rays in this, man. I would.
Now, wait a minute. The Rays are +115?
Over the Sox.
I'll take them.
That's what I'll take.
What's the next one?
Detroit Chai Sox. Detroit is Porcello, Sale for the Sox.
What's Detroit?
They're both -110.
Pass. Go. Give me
Cleveland,
the next one.
Kansas City.
Pass.
Ubaldo.
Next. No, pass. Keep going.
Texas, Minnesota.
All right, give me Texas
Feliz
pitcher.
And Hendricks.
What's Texas? -130? 140?
-175, Texas.
Pass. Keep going.
Oakland, Seattle, Godfrey, and Bavin.
Pass.
Angels, Williams, Yankees, Nova.
I'm going to take Nova. What is he, -190?
-160.
I'm pretty close. Take the Yankees. They're going to win today.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Roy, we got to wrap this up. It's been great today, people. You've been listening to Roy Edwards of SportsManCave.com and Bruce Hall with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're on AM 1230 WFAS. See you next week.